Parshas Vayishlach. Before I begin, I'd like to remind those among you who are Balei Kriya, those who lain, that in this week's Parsha we have, in the death of Rachel Imenu, in her passing, that the Pasuk says a lashon of Kimesa. It says, Vayihi b'tzeif nafsha Kimesa, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Yud Ches. And there's something of a question as to how to translate the pasuk. Kimesa could mean because she died, Moshen Avar, or it could mean Vayihi b'tzeif nafsha Kimesa, because she was dying. The nafkamina is, if it's Moshen Avar in past tense, or if it's in present tense, is nafkamina if the word is pronounced in the Leil, Mesa, or Mesa. The Targum brings both. If you look in the Targum Onkelis, it says Ire Misas, and in parentheses it says Ire Maisa. So it brings both Taichin. Now Rav Palm was naik here in the yeshiva that the Baal Kairei actually read it twice. Behibit says Nafsha Kimesa, and then again Kimesa. And that's a proper anhaga in order to get both possible meanings of this pasuk. Let's move on to a vart on the parasha. First one today is something which appears in two of our favorite svarim, both Rav Schwab in the first piece on this week's parasha, and Rav Druk in multiple places in the parasha, say the same rayon. Let me start with Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab's idea is that we find that Yaakov Avinu was afraid. Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayetzer Loi. Rav Schwab writes that the derech of a yid is to start out with pachad, with fear. After that, he gets up and he davens to the Rabbi Nishalaylam. He does that which he has to do to take care of his situation. And after that, he proceeds with confidence. He feels confidence that he's done what he had to do, and the fear goes away. So, Vayir Yaakov Moed Vayetzolai, Yaakov was afraid. Then, Vayomer Yaakov Lekeavi Abraham Lekeavi Yitzchak, he davens to the Rabbi Nishalaylam. And after that, Yaakov Avinu no longer has fear. It doesn't mention anywhere any type of fear. He goes with confidence. Rav Schwab writes that that's the hug of a yid. And importantly, he says that when we say Nefilas Hapayim, in that capital, Perek Vav of Tehillim, which we say during Nefilas Hapayim, we find this hanhoga. We say, Rafaini Hashem ki nevhalo atzamai. We dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu because nevhalo atzamai. My bones are in a state of disarray. V'nafshi nevhalo ma'oid. And my soul is in a state of disarray. It's for a tumult. V'ata Hashem ad Masai Hashem. How long can I continue? And then at the end of that parak during the Tfilas Hapayim, we speak with confidence. Suru mimeni kopay le'oved ki shama Hashem kol bichi. Shama Hashem tchilasi, Hashem tchilasi yikach. Then we talk with confidence. That's the hanhog of a yid. To have fear, to turn to the Rabbi Shalom and Davin, and at the end, to state with confidence that I'm in the hands of the Rabbi Shalom and I can move forward without fear. This is the thought that Rav Schwab says here in the Parsha of Druk, in the Sefer, on Parsha Vayishlach, on page Reish Lamed Gimel, says the identical Rayon, but he starts with a different question. Here's a question. When Yaakov sends a message to Esav, he states, Vayehi li shar v'chamar tzayin ve'eved v'shivcha. He describes his possessions. Rabbeinu Bachya makes a point here. He says that tzayin, sheep, is usually mentioned as the first possession in a list of possessions that a person has. Now, if he gives an example by Avraham Avinu, says, Avraham heitiv bavura v'hi loy tzayin ubakar. It mentions tzayin, sheep, first. By Yitzchak, by Eli Miknet Zainu, who Miknet Bakar. It mentions the sheep first. Even by Yaakov Avinu in last week's parasha, it says the same Ryan, by Eli Tzain Rabbis, Vishivchais, Bavad Mukmal, and Achamayrim. Again, it mentions the sheep first. That's the derech of the Pasuk. The style of the Pasuk is that a person's wealth in those days was in having a lot of sheep. And therefore, Typically, the sheep are mentioned first in a list of possessions that a person owns. So Rabbeinu Bachya asks, why here does it mention the sheep somewhere in the middle? Rabbeinu Bachya answers as follows. He says, that Yaakov Avinu did not want to highlight the sheep, because he stole the Bechaira using Gdi'izim, using this type of an animal, and he didn't want to mention the Bechaira, have it sort of stick out in this conversation with Esav, so he put it in the middle. This is what Rabbeinu Bachya says on Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Vav. Rav Chorki asks, interesting, Yaakov Avinu did not want to highlight the tzayin possession, but later we find the Farish of the Pasuk that when Yaakov actually sends the gift to Esav, he sent Ezim first. He sent the Ezim at the very beginning of his gift. And it was a Gedi Ezim. That was exactly the type of animal with which he stole the Bechaira. What changed? Rav Chuk answers, and the quote from the Sefer is, Lefnei she'Yaakov Avinu espalel, hayo pachad. Before Yaakov Avinu daven, he was full of fear. Ach acharei atzila Yaakov Avinu batuach, v'samach b'kayach atzila, v'ena misyarei. Afterwards, he no longer had fear. A beautiful rayon in davening. He adds another example. Rav Druki adds, the Gemara says in Brachis, in the beginning of the last parak, Malkim Shinasu by Nisan Li Yisrael, Oimer Baruch Shasa Nisan. There's a brach. When you see a place where miracles took place, Baruch Shasa Nisan Lave Seidu by Malkim Hazeh. One of the examples mentioned is Evan Shiyoshu Vala Moshe Kishasa Muhammad by Amalek, the stone on which Moshe sat when he did battle with Amalek. The question is, Moshe Rabbeinu sat on the stone and prayed. The miracle took place on the battlefield. Why are we putting the miracle as the Makom HaTefillah? With this Rayon, Rav Druk explains that no, the place where it switches from Pachat to Betachat, the place where the success is the Makom HaTefillah. And therefore, that's the way a person should know to daven. This would answer an old kasha that we asked in a previous year. We asked that Yaakov Avinu planned to split the machne l'shnei machanais. His whole plan, he had this great plan to split the machne into two groups. So if Esav comes, el machne ha'achas v'yikahu, v'yikahu v'yamechna machne ha'nishor l'fleita, so that the other machne could escape. Yet when he comes to Esav, they're all there. Everybody's there. What happened to his grand plan? But the answer would fit. When he was in pachad, when he was afraid, that was his plan. If there is davening in a sense of betachin, then it was a whole different story. Then he had a different sense. To this, Rav Druki had something that was very much his style. He says later in the Sefer on page Rish Lamed Hey, that it says, Ayolin Sham Balayla Hu. Yaakov Avinu slept the night before he was going to meet Esav. Now, all the Aves went to sleep overnight in any episode that takes place in the Torah. Rav Druki asked, why does it say here, Vayolin Sham Balayla Hu? He slept overnight, and then he did what he had to do. It seems to be an unnecessary comment. Answer to Rav Druki. Imagine, Yaakov Avinu is afraid they all be killed. It was the night before he's going to meet Esav. And he's able to sleep at night. He's able to get a good night's sleep. The pasuk is telling us, Vayolin Sham Balayla Hu. He was able to sleep. He was Be'ishav Hadas. Once he davened and felt Batuach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would guide him, he had no longer had any fear. Rav Chuk mentioned a story regarding the stipler. The stipler went as a bacher to meet a girl on, well, I guess a early 20th century, the equivalent of a date. I'm sure they didn't go anywhere, but he went to her house to meet this woman. When he got there, it was very late at night. The stipler had not slept. He had stayed up the previous night learning. And he was waiting. She was late. What do you know? Sometimes women come late. And as he was waiting, he decided to take a nap. He said Hamapio, planning to take a nap for at least a half an hour. After he said Hamapio, the girl and her family walked in. It's almost comical to imagine. The stipler sitting there, the girl and the family come in. So he doesn't want to speak after Hamapio. He motions to them, I said Hamapio, I have to take a nap. So they wait. And he goes, he puts his head down. And he takes a nap for half an hour. Rav Druk said, amazing. He was able to fall asleep. Here, he's going on a date. Already, the girl walks in. He says, sorry, I got to take a nap. And he's able to fall asleep. That is the confidence that's in the heart of the Gadol B'Yisrael once he davens, something to learn from. If you have Rav Druk Sefer, later on page Reish Mem Gimel, he mentions something additional based on this Yisayid. But not for this one yesite, an important yesite, something to know during the time that you do the Tfilas HaPayim. I'd like to move on to an idea that Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz writes in the shiurim which he gave during the 67 war. They're printed in the new Siches Musar, the ones that have a section L'Regel Hazman, the shmuzin he gave during the 67 war. He asks a question on the parasha. Rachel is buried by the side of the road. Why is she buried by the side of the road? Later, Yaakov Avinu reveals the secret. That someday, Klal Yisrael would go to Golus, pierce Kevah Rachel, and she would daven for them. Rachel Mevake Alba Neha. Me'ano Lehinachem, she's the one. Because Klal Yisrael pierces her Kevah. Rechai Shmulevitz asked the question. He said, the Imais in heaven know what's going on. Avram Yisrael and Yaakov know what's going on. Rachel and Leah know what's happening. What's the difference if Jews would pass the kever or not pass the kever? Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, an awesome idea. He says, we see the kayach ha-re'iyah, that you might know something, you might be fully aware of it, but until you see it, it doesn't affect you. Even the imais, even after death, even once they're buried, if the people fleeing the Churban are going to pass in front of the kever Rachel, just the fact that she, on the Shema, whatever it is, that's what the body sees it, causes a hisrakshus, causes a feeling, a hergish. It's been mentioned before that the eye is tied to the heart. The ear is tied to the brain. You hear things, you know them. But the eye is tied to the heart, the emotion. When you see something, you feel it much more. This was mentioned also to answer a different question. Moshe Rabbeinu did not break the luchos until he saw the egel. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that Klal Yisrael was Oved the Egel, at that point he should have broken the luchos or abandoned them in Shemayim. He brought them down and broke them down, broke them in front of the Egel. The Rashi answers that when he saw it, it was different than hearing it from the Ribbono Shel Olam. To this, Rav Moshe asks, hearing it from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the ultimate. How could seeing it be more? But the answer is the same. It's not more knowledge. It's just that when you see something, it affects the heart. And that's the idea, Chazal say, the idea of seeing a Rebbe. Rebbeir had her Talmud Rebbe. Rebbe said, had I sat in a place where I could see his face during Shir, I would have been greater. Seeing affects a person. And that's a very important akuta to know. For many people, they don't go to a Shir. They can hear it on tape. No, you have to go. You have to be there. You have to see it. You have to participate. That is the hisrakshus. That is what affects the heart. So, for this week, I guess, we'll leave it with two vertlach. This vart from Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, a powerful vart, Lamaisa, and the vart that comes courtesy of Rav Schwab and Rav Druck, the two of them, an idea which I hope you'll remember during the Tfilas HaPayim. As always, let me end with a kasha, something which appears to be a difficulty in this week's parasha. The pasuk says, "Ki sarisa malachim ve'anoshim v'tuchal." You fought malachim and anoshim, and people v'tuchal, and you were successful. Who are these anoshim? The Rashi says, "Esav v'lavan." This stam anoshim is Esav and Lavan. There seems to be a problem with something Rashi says in numerous places in Chumash. I can think of three places offhand. Where Rashi says the word anoshim is a lashon chashivos, it's a lashon of something that's chashuv. We have it in the beginning of Parashat Shlach, kulam anoshim. When the Meraglim go out, kulam anoshim, they all go out anoshim. Rashi says, kol anoshim shebemikra lashon chashivos. Every anoshim in the pasuk is a lashon of chashivos, boisishok sherem hayim. In the end of Parashat Bishalach, bechar lonu anoshim. Rashi says again, ki bayir v'yirechet. On the pasuk, Yicholtzu mi'itchem anoshim. Rashi says, anoshim zot tzadikin. So anoshim, if that's a title that implies chashivas, then why here, stam anoshim is used as a word to refer to Esav and Lavan? That seems to be an inconsistency. U'mitzvah liyashev. My time is up for this week. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.